How many of you have read the second book of Acts? Second book of Acts? It hasn't been printed yet. But I could just imagine it reading that a group of Seventh-day Adventists came to see Jesus and said, you remember when you were on the Mount of Olives, you explained to the disciples what was going to happen before you came again. Can you give us an update on this? And Jesus said, of course, of course. As you all know, my job got changed in 1844. I moved from the holy place to the most holy place and became the judge. And God, my Father, told John, you can read it in John, the Gospel of John, that he was not going to do any judging, but Jesus was to do all the judging. Now, a judge in the old times became the deliverer from oppression. There's somebody oppressing you. Deliverer from sin. But this group of Seventh-day Adventists had a special problem. Their ministers were dying prematurely. So the first thing I did was to appoint a prophetess, Ellen White. And I gave her extensive information, which she wrote very well, and had it published. You go to those little red books, and you'll find out the answer to your question, just what's supposed to happen before Jesus comes again. So I went to the little red books, and I have here for you 22 pages. And I'm going to emphasize, I don't have time to read them all, but I'm going to emphasize some particular ones that you should know. These last day predictions, what's the first one that you should know about? Jesus could have come a long time ago. It said in 1885, the loud cry had begun. Do you remember what happened in 1888? There was a Sunday law in Congress, and one Seventh-day Adventist brother got up there and argued with the committee and never got out of committee. Sunday law got stopped. The three angels' message, the third angel's message, the loud cry got stopped. And why? Why did that happen? Well, I want you to read this quotation on the second page. We may have to remain here in this world because of insubordination many more years, as did the children of Israel. But for Christ's sake, his people should not add sin to sin by charging God with the consequence of their own wrong course of action. So God's people had not done what they were supposed to do. We had not done some things that God had asked us to do. We were insubordinate. Can you think of any particular thing? I think medical evangelism of the large cities. We were supposed to do evangelistic work in the large cities. Have we done it? We haven't. If we had have done it, it wouldn't be so difficult now. Okay? And how are we to do that in those large cities? We were told the minister was not enough to do that task. He was not sufficient for that work. He was supposed to have medical evangelists to do it. Medical evangelists. What are they? Oh, they were paid for from the tithe. They were doctors, paid for from the tithe, worked in the sanitariums, not with medicines, reforming the practice of the doctors of the world. Entirely different type of practice, public health practice, preventive medicine. Okay? We didn't do it. How many sanitarium beds do we have now? Big big new hospital in Loma Linda, not one sanitarium bed. They're all hospital beds. We would call that live-in lifestyle center, sort of like Weimar. Live-in lifestyle center. Be a little bit different. So, God could have had Jesus come a long time ago. He didn't come. Now, here's something else you need to know. Because of insubordination, we didn't get there. Jesus didn't come. 137 years have passed. This prophecy, because of insubordination, you may have to live in this world a lot longer. It's already happened. 137 years have gone by because we didn't do what we should have done. We are also told, before this slide, we're told every city is to be entered by workers trained to do medical missionary work. As the right hand of the third angel's message, God's methods of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. When I was a medical student, I was really worried about all these things she said against drugs, using medicines. I couldn't understand it. I understand it now. Do you know what's happened recently? Since about the year 2010? World Health Organization, American Heart Association, the European Cardiology Society have agreed that the best lifestyle to prevent the major cause of death, cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, and strokes, is lifestyle. You can reduce the risk of a heart attack and a stroke 80% with proper lifestyle, better than any medicine or any medical procedure could do. Now I understand what she meant. We were to go out and reform the practice of the doctors of the world, show them how to teach people how not to get sick. But there is a very bad evil that's come upon the church. Here's what she says. My brethren, the Lord calls for unity, for oneness. We are to be one in the faith. I wish to tell you that when the gospel ministers and the medical missionary workers are not united, there is placed on our churches the worst evil that can be placed there. Do you remember the days when every conference had a medical director, physician? We don't have that anymore. They've all disappeared. This worst evil is talking about is happening right now. This needs to be changed. Now, these medical evangelists, who were they? They were supposed to be paid for from the tithe. We had a problem overseas. We sent people paid for from the tithe from the General Conference overseas, doctors to practice. I saw a doctor who is head of the East African Division Medical Department. He said, my first job is to get rid of all the foreign missionary doctors. They're too expensive, because they changed the policy. They didn't pay them from the tithe. They said the hospital's got to pay for their keeps. And that caused a big problem. So this worst evil has come upon us, where the doctors are not involved in this work anymore like they used to be. Now, let me show you another statement. It's kind of interesting. A great work will be done in our cities when more earnest plans are laid for the furtherance of the cause of present truth in these places. What's the plans for evangelizing New York City? Do you know what they are? What's the plans for evangelizing Sacramento? What's the plans? We don't have the plans. I got a call from Elder Ted Wilson a number of years ago. He said, we need a pastor in one of our churches here in New York City. Would you come and pastor the church? I said, brother, your father raised a lot of money to do medical evangelistic work there. Why can't I go as a medical evangelist? He said, I'll ask him. And he asked his father, what about that money you raised? He said, we aren't going to spend one dime of it till we have definite plans all laid out as to how we're going to do this work. That's good administratively. We don't have the plans laid out. How can the Lord bless plans that have never been laid? A work will be done in our cities when more earnest plans are laid for the furtherance of the cause of present truth in these places. But the Lord can't bless the plans that haven't been laid. But when they are laid, this work could go real quickly. I think of our work in China, the missionary work that we had going on in China. Since about 1902, 1903, we had missionaries there until 1948, when Mao Zedong came in, communists came in, all the missionaries left. We had at that time 21,000 Chinese Christians in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Since then till now, how many do we have? We now have 472,000 Chinese Adventists without any foreign missionaries. God can finish this work up quickly. Now, another statement here. What about Noah? Did he have any converts? Yes, he did. He had converts. Those who believed when Noah began to build the ark lost their faith through associations with unbelievers, who aroused all the old passion for amusements and display. Now, what does Sister White mean by amusements? She talks about sports. Remember the first anniversary of the school at Avondale? They decided to have a day of amusements, sports. They had a tennis court for the first time. They had pie-eating contests. They had all kinds of crazy things. Three-legged races, sack races, all these kinds of things. Sister White had a vision of what happened that night. She came the next day. She said, I want to speak to the faculty. And she explained this is no way to train medical missionaries and missionaries who are going to do evangelistic work and close and finish up the work. It's no way to do it. One lady in the faculty said, well, if she knows so much how to run a school, she better come and run it. It wasn't very nice. After that faculty meeting, Sister White asked to speak to the students at assembly. They took it, what she had to say, very nicely. They sold the things for the tennis court. They sold all their equipment, put the money in the Goodwill box to help missionary work. But sports was leading Noah's converts astray. When our schools gave up the agriculture department, the arts departments, and went into sports, we lost a lot. We lost a lot. Well, there have been some fulfilled predictions. One, that there is no sanctuary in heaven. Have you ever heard of that before? Remember the head of the ministerial department of our college in Avondale? He came here and preached that. There's no sanctuary in heaven. It's not true. It's been over 50 years since that doctrine has come out. Another sophistry. It's impossible for people to overcome. It's not true. Another thing that was to happen, luxury was to become the luxury of the church. Are we, as Adventists, driving as good cars as anybody else? Do we have as good homes as the other people? But there were some predictions that were fulfilled. Southern California Conference president stated that Sister White had said that the sanitarium should be the principal training school on this coast of Loma Linda. At this point, Sister White interrupted him and said, "This will be, not should be, it will be." It has turned out to be, graduating more doctors than anything east of the Mississippi, more college graduates than any of these other colleges. Now, another statement. Why is the Sunday law going to be promoted? Three big reasons why. One, lack of prosperity. Economic disaster. By the way, how many millions of dollars is the U.S. government printing every day? Have any idea? They have congressional action that they're not allowed to tell anybody how much they're printing. They're just printing more and more money. How long can we last that way? Then there's going to be calamities and disasters. Bad things are going to happen. Then there's going to be disease. The devil's tainting the air with viruses. We're going to have disease. And because of these three things, there's going to be a movement to say we got to get back to living right and honoring the Sunday law. That's what they're going to say. And they're going to blame it all on Seventh-day Adventists. There are some predictions that have yet to be fulfilled. One is unions. Unions are going to cause a lot of problems with our church, but right now the unions aren't very strong. I'm looking for them to become stronger, okay? We have no time to lose. The end is near. The passage from place to place to spread the truth will soon be hedged up. The righteous are to expect persecution. Why don't we have it? We haven't lived righteously is one reason. Okay? Many of our people will be scattered. Arthur White thought that happened when Pacific Press moved at Mountain View, but I don't believe that's happened yet. But a lot of people are going to come into the church. Look at this statement. More than 1,000 will soon be converted in one day, most of whom will trace their first conviction to the receiving of our publications. Over 1,000 a day are going to be brought into the church because of our literature work. Some of these people are going to come in unwillingly converted. They read something in this tract, they didn't like it, and they threw it away. Then they wonder to themselves, I wonder what else they said. So they pick it up and read a little bit more. Something else goes against the grain and they throw it away. And then they wonder, is there something more else in there? And they pick it up again. And sooner or later, they are converted. Sister White says they're unwillingly converted from this literature. It's kind of an interesting statement. Now, here's another interesting statement. One thing is certain. Those Seventh-day Adventists who take their stand under Satan's banner will first give up their faith in the warnings and reproofs contained in the testimony of God's Spirit. The very last deception of Satan will be to make of none effect the testimony of the Spirit of God. And that's not... And it's going to happen also in regard to their diet. For example, among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. Many who are now only half converted on the question of meat eating will go from God's people to walk no more with them. those who are in a position where it's possible to secure a vegetarian diet, but who choose to follow their own preferences in this matter, eating and drinking as they please, will gradually grow careless of the instruction the Lord has given regarding other phases of the present truth, and will lose their perception of what is true. They will surely reap as they have sown. Music's going to get bad. We're going to have the beating of drums. We're going to have bad things happening with our music, even in some of our churches. What else is going to happen? Well, I think after the Sunday law, there's things going to happen that are bad. God demands that our appetites, this has to do with the diet again. God demands that our appetites be changed. We get rid of the coffee and the animal products. But there was something else here. I'm trying to find out what happened to it. I don't see it here. Let's see if I missed it along the way. God demands that the appetites be cleansed. I got that one. Yes, about the meat eating, coffee drinking. How are people doing on coffee drinking, do you know? Gary Fraser, our Adventist scientific man who's doing the studies of Adventists health-wise, he says only 8% of our Adventists drink coffee. I said, Gary, you're wrong. I did studies in our most conservative church in Phoenix, Arizona, and 40% were drinking coffee. I said, Gary, the problem is you make them sign their name to the paper. I don't ask them to sign their name to the paper. So there's a difference. So many of our people are ignoring this health message. Now, let's see, disasters. Navies will go down. Human lives will be sacrificed by millions. I think this is going to happen after the Sunday law. I was interested in this study to decide what is going to happen before the Sunday law comes. I think this happens probably after Sunday law. Now look at this one. I was with R.A. Anderson, an evangelistic meeting in Canada. He finished his sermon, talked about the disasters coming upon the cities, and he sat down next to me on the platform. And I said, Brother Anderson, it's not only cities, it's whole countries. Here it is, right here. The earth will be filled with the shrieks of suffering, expiring nations. Whole nations are going to be destroyed. Schools among us will be going to be closed up. I think mostly that's an economic problem. We've had one college close. We have a lot of church schools closing. More and more academies are closing. So we're having a hard time here. There are good people in the country trying to put financial economics on a better basis so we don't have all the problems we're having business-wise, but they can't seem to do it. They are struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. You know, the day is coming when children are going to actually preach. Back in Sweden, the old days, remember children getting on tables? The Spirit of the Lord worked with them and they preached?
Amen.
Remember that?
I do.
Thank you. Thank you. But the day is coming again when children are going to preach. Isaiah 8:18 talks about work with the children. Our children are being trained so well that all the adults look over at them and say, see, that's how we should be. Children are going to preach. But another exciting thing that's happening is the day is coming when hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Are you prepared with your series of lectures for your neighbors? That's what we need to be prepared for. I'm trying to make it easy. I started one. I did one on the millennium. And I made it very short, only three texts, three references. I have a lot other with it in case they ask questions. You can add to it. But we need to be ready to give Bible studies because there's going to be hundreds and thousands visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Okay? The Lord will bring His people into a position where they will not touch or taste the flesh of dead animals. Then let not these things be prescribed by any physicians who have a knowledge of the truth for this time. There is no safety in the eating of the flesh of dead animals. And in a short time, the milk of the cows will also be excluded from the diet of God's commandment-keeping people. In a short time, it will not be safe to use anything that comes from the animal creation. Now, here's a statement I like. This is still about eating the flesh meat of animals. This one here. I wish to tell you that soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines, but medical missionary work. Are you all trained to do gifts? Are you all trained to do something to help people medically? Now, here's another thing. Do you want better health? Did you know Sabbath keeping has to do with it? Listen to this quotation. All heaven was represented to me as beholding and watching upon the Sabbath those who acknowledge the claims of the fourth commandment and observing the Sabbath. Angels were marking their interest in and high regard for the divine institution. Those who sanctify the Lord God in their hearts by a strictly devotional frame of mind and who sought to improve the sacred hours in keeping the Sabbath to the best of their ability and to honor God by calling the Sabbath a delight, these, the angels, are specially blessing with light and health, and special strength was given to them. If you're really keeping the Sabbath from the heart, you're going to be given special strength. Now, here's another statement that I think is kind of exciting. There are many people that are praying for the latter rain. Brothers and sisters, if we don't work with the Holy Spirit for the early rain, we wait until the latter rain to clean our mistakes up, we're going to be lost. The latter rain is to do another job. That's to prepare the proclamation of the big loud cry message. But we need to work with the holy rain to cleanse us from all filthiness of flesh now that we may be prepared for the latter rain. There are lots of people wanting to move out into the country, protect themselves in the time of trouble, okay? What is their goal when they move out into the country? The goal of every church member, the goal of the church as a whole, is soul winning. We are to be missionaries, having our chief aim the winning of souls to Christ. So if you do move into the country, you've got to have a plan. How are you going to win souls? Now, another thing you should know, there's going to be two closes of probation. Adventists are going to have their probation closed before those who haven't had a chance to hear the message. We have heard the message. Our probation will be closed. While the door of mercy is open still to those who have not yet heard. So there's two different closes of probation. Satan comes to impersonate Christ, and look at what it says here. Satan is going to work to bring fire down from heaven. He's going to use human beings to do it for him. Who are the human beings that he's using? It is stated in the word that the enemy will work through his agents who have departed from the faith. These people were once true believers. They've departed from the faith. He's going to work through them to bring the fire down from heaven. They're going to be on his side. So in my conclusion, my appeal, we should stop this insubordination. We should do what the Lord is asking us to do. I think mainly of large city evangelism. We should be doing it. We should have plans for it. We should use the right arm of the message, because when the people see we're sound in health, they'll think we're sound in Bible doctrines also. We should work with the Holy Spirit now in the early rain to cleanse us of all filthiness of flesh so that we may be ready for the latter rain. We must be preparing ourselves to give Bible studies to our neighbors, because there's going to be opportunity to do that in many, many homes. We should use our time, not in sports, not in this, not in that. We should use our time for soul winning. Yes, you and I have not followed what the Lord has said we should do. The Lord is now giving us another opportunity to do what he wants us to do.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. Oh,
Our Heavenly Father, here are a group of your people gathered together on this Sabbath day, the day that you have made. They have sung that they are surrendering all to you to get ready for Jesus' soon coming. Open their hearts and minds and eyes to the needs that they have individually. Work with the Holy Spirit now to clean up their sinful flesh, to prepare for the latter rain, that we may give the loud cry. This group here is ready to surrender everything for you. Please bless them in their efforts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.